Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, May 18th, Pope Leo XIV officially inaugurates his ministry as the successor of Peter and calls the church to unity and love. And the bishops of Southern Africa wrap up their plenary assembly. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Leo XIV presided at the Mass of inauguration of his Petrine ministry in St. Peter's Square this morning. Ahead of the Mass, he made his first visit among the crowds in the Pope Mobile, weaving his way through St. Peter's Square and the surrounding avenues. In his homily, the Pope invited the Church to walk together along the path of God's love and remain united in one family. Thaddeus Jones reports.
Greeting pilgrims, leaders from around the world, and representatives of Christian denominations and other religions, Pope Leo XIV marked the joyous start to his Petrine ministry. Expressing his heartfelt gratitude for the prayerful and joyful support offered to him as he begins his pastoral ministry as Pope, Leo XIV recalled the intense emotions experienced over these past few weeks. He said, "I come to you as a brother who desires to be the servant of your faith and your joy, walking with you on the path of God's love, for he wants us all to be united in one family."
Amore e unità.
In his homily, he described how love and unity are the two aspects of the mission entrusted to Peter by Jesus. And in the Gospel on this Sunday, Jesus entrusts the disciples to continue the mission to be fishers of men and bring the hope of the Gospel to all people so that all may experience God's embrace. And he said Peter's experience of God's infinite and unconditional love enabled him to take up his mission. The Pope expressed his hope for a united church, a sign of unity and communion, which becomes a leaven for a reconciled world. And in the face of a world marked by so much discord and wounds caused by wars, hatred and violence, and economic realities that exploit the earth's resources and marginalize the poorest, he said, "We want to be a small leaven of unity, communion, and fraternity within the world. And we wish to say to the world with humility and joy, look to Christ, come closer to him, welcome his word that enlightens and consoles. Listen to his offer of love and become his one family. In the one Christ, we are one," he urged. "And this is the path to follow together among ourselves, but also with our sister Christian churches, with those who follow other religious paths, with those who are searching for God, with all women and men of goodwill, in order to build a new world where peace reigns."
Insieme, come unico popolo, come fratelli tutti,
he said, "Together as one people, as brothers and sisters, let us walk towards God and love one another." I'm Thaddeus Jones.
At the heart of the Mass today was the conferral of the symbols of the Petrine ministry. Pope Leo XIV received the pallium, and Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle placed upon his ring finger the ring of the fisherman. As Kelsey Gussie reports, this new ring of the fisherman has deep roots in the New Testament.
Bearing an image of St. Peter, the ring of the fisherman has New Testament roots and significance. In the Gospel of Matthew, St. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells Peter he must strengthen his brothers in the faith and the mission. The ring of the fisherman thus authenticates the faith and symbolizes the duty with which the first pope was entrusted. As Peter is known as the fisherman apostle, the ring is referred to as the ring of the fisherman, or the piscatory ring, symbolizing the continuous lineage from the first pope to today. This ring has been part of the symbols of the papacy since at least the 13th century. It was used as a signet ring to seal official documents signed by the Pope until 1842. Now, it is used symbolically, but every pope still has a ring. When one pope dies, his ring of the fisherman, along with the lead seal, is marked with a chisel, thereby ensuring the seal cannot be forged. Therefore, every ring is unique and personal to each pope. In 2013, Pope Francis received a gold-plated silver ring, which was previously owned by the secretary to Pope Paul VI. His predecessor, Pope Benedict XVI, had a gold ring engraved with a bas relief of St. Peter fishing from a boat. Today, Pope Leo XIV received his Ring of the Fisherman, continuing the tradition, as the ring has an image of St. Peter with the keys and the net, signaling the passing of the torch, as this 266th successor to St. Peter now officially undertakes the mission entrusted to the first pope over two millennia ago. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
At the conclusion of the Mass of Inauguration, Pope Leo XIV prayed the Regina Caeli and appealed for people suffering due to war. He thanked the 200,000 people and numerous delegations attending the Eucharist, expressing his gratitude to the representatives of nations, churches, and various religions. In the joy of faith and communion, he said, we cannot forget our brothers and sisters who are suffering because of war. The Pope recalled that the surviving children, families, and elderly people in Gaza have been reduced to starvation as the Israel-Hamas war continues. In Myanmar, he lamented, new hostilities have cut short innocent lives. And he said, martyred Ukraine awaits negotiations for a just and lasting peace. Just after the Mass, Pope Leo met privately with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who attended the inauguration Mass with his wife. In other news, the bishops of Southern Africa have reaffirmed the church's desire to support family life. As Sheila Pirish reports, the Marriage and Family Life Department of the Bishops' Conference recently held a conference on the family.
The Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference, SACBC, is taking concrete steps to strengthen family life in the region. The SACBC's Marriage and Family Life Office held its annual general meeting at the Lumko Institute in Benoni, Johannesburg. The gathering brought together metropolitan coordinators from South Africa, Botswana, and Eswatini. The meeting opened with a workshop on Amoris Laetitia, the apostolic exhortation by the late Pope Francis. Facilitator Father Tebelo Moeti of the Diocese of Kroonstad explained that the session addressed real struggles faced by families today, such as unemployment, single parenting, substance abuse, and raising children with special needs.
Amongst the topics that we discussed was the importance of not only discussing and reflecting upon this, but also the importance of implementing these particular topics. So amongst those, one of the things that we touched, which are very important, especially for the church in Southern Africa today, is some of the issues that are faced by family today, like unemployment, families or single parents who are maybe having children with special needs like autism. We spoke about the issues that are faced by families like children who are involved in drugs and many other issues that faces families today. And we came up also with the solutions or what we think as things that we can do as the church to accompany these families that are facing these particular issues. So I hope and trust that these people who are here will go back and really implement these points that Pope Francis highlighted in the document and what we have interpreted according to our own culture as part of enculturation for the Church of Southern Africa.
The AGM closed with reports from regional coordinators and a strong resolution. Department coordinator Fadan Tlantlan Kunu told Vatican News that every parish and diocese must now establish a dedicated desk for marriage and family life.
There was a recognition that the Ministry of Marriage and Family Life is of paramount importance. Therefore, it was resolved that it needs to be taken seriously, that all parishes in the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference area should have this ministry. There must be a desk for this ministry, and also dioceses, they must come on board and support this important ministry.
As the Church in Southern Africa continues its synodal journey, the message is clear. Strengthening family life is not optional, it's essential. In Pretoria, South Africa, for Vatican News, I'm Sheila Pirish.
In Pakistan, a Catholic priest from the Archdiocese of Karachi has called for unity and peace in the face of escalating tensions in the Kashmir region and in the province of Balochistan. Recent conflict has heightened concerns for civilians and national cohesion in the area. Now is the time for unity and peace, recalled Father Mario Angel Rodriguez, speaking to Fides News Agency. I would like to recall the words of Pope Leo XIV, peace be with you. And finally, as the Pope appeals for war, we recall his appeal on Monday for the release of journalists who have been detained, expressing his support for the freedom of the press. Many reporters who cover war have been directly targeted for doing their jobs. Among them is Christina Assi, a Lebanese photojournalist who was injured while covering Israel's attacks on Hezbollah in Lebanon. She told Nancy Sarkis about her experience as a war reporter.
I became a journalist because I always believed in the power of bearing witness, especially in a region where much is misrepresented or ignored. So I wanted to document the reality from the ground. And even though I knew the risks comes with our profession, however, I never imagined that we would be targeted directly just for doing our job.
You're the proof that freedom of press is in danger. Tell us what pushed you to ask to be assigned on the coverage of the war in Lebanon.
Well, I'm not the only proof. I think after a year and a half of this war, we have more than 300 journalists that have been killed. However, I'm from the few survivors, if anything. Well, the reason why I wanted to document the war or the conflict or the clashes that were happening back then, because at that time when we were targeted, the war didn't start. It was only clashes at the border. The war in general, for me, it was never something foreign. We are used to it in Lebanon. So I wanted to be documenting from the ground how it's unfolding, because it was unfolding among people and places I knew.
On the 13th of October 2023, you sustained major injuries while reporting on the conflict between Hezbollah and Israel linked to the war in Gaza. Can you please tell us what happened this day?
Been covering in the south for almost the full day. We were there from the morning covering the UN patrolling and everything, and it was relatively calm. It wasn't until around 4, 4:30 p.m., something like that, we heard that there were clashes and bombardment in a village nearby. So we all, a group of seven journalists, we all headed to Al Mashab, to a hill that was exposed and known to journalists there. They always use it because it's exposed to all sides. So we were there for an hour covering the cloud, smoke billowing. It was starting to get dark. And that's when we were about to leave. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, we were targeted. The first time I was on the ground, I couldn't really understand what was happening. And I was screaming for help. So my colleague Dylan rushed to help me and put a tourniquet. But then like 47 seconds later, we were targeted again. And here, everyone was injured.
No international journalists are allowed to work in Gaza. How do you think this has shaped coverage of the war in people's minds?
When it comes to journalists in Gaza and the access to international journalists and media, I think the issue isn't that we don't have enough coverage or accessibility. Of course, all journalists should be allowed to cover the war or anything that is unfolding. However, Palestinian journalists have been documenting this war since day one. They've been silenced, targeted in every way possible. It's been all over the social media and the news, and nothing has been done. No action has been taken to protect these journalists.
That was Christina Assi, a Lebanese photojournalist, speaking to Nancy Sarkis. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks go to our sound engineer in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.